During my final year in Rome, I had the opportunity to travel to the island of Sicily for a weekend with a couple of friends. And we had done our homework ahead of time, so we brought along this Michelin guide for travelers that explained where the absolute best restaurants were, and museums and everything too, but restaurants were our main concern. And so we found ourselves one evening driving up this small mountain in a kind of remote area, and we got to the top of the mountain and found the restaurant just where it was supposed to be. So we walked in. There was hardly anyone there, which is not usually a good sign if you're going to a restaurant. But we sat down. It was still a little bit early for supper. It was probably 7:30, maybe almost 8, which is early for Italians to have supper. Anyway, we sat there waiting for the waiter to come, and eventually he came and he had a plate of food, which he sat down in front of us. And we thought, okay, this is sort of interesting that they start bringing food before you even get the menu. But we ate it happily. We were hungry and it tasted good. And then they cleared those dishes and brought another appetizer. And we ate that. They cleared that and brought another appetizer. There were probably 8 or 9 different appetizer courses, and so it didn't take us too long to realize that this was not going to be your typical meal. There was no menu, and we were just going to eat whatever they brought that evening. And it was all delicious, wonderful salamis and cheeses and homemade bread and all kinds of wonderful, wonderful, tasty food. Finally, we got to the pasta course, and then the main dish. And by that point, we were all ready to go home. I mean, we were stuffed at this point, but we thought, you know, we have to eat it. They keep bringing the food. We just have to eat it. And it was delicious, but we really should have stopped eating. And then they brought another salad and a dessert and coffee. And once we got home, one of the guys sort of wrote out all that we had had, and he came up with 17 different dishes that we had been served that night. So it was a wonderful, wonderful experience of Italian, you know, Sicilian cuisine and everything. And we couldn't get over the experience. We just kept talking about all these different foods that we had eaten and how amazing it was. And it wasn't very expensive either, by the way, which was kind of the cherry on top. But I do have to admit that that was the worst instance of gluttony that I have ever committed in my life. And yet I learned something very important, not only not to eat that much, but also that when it comes to a meal, it's sort of nice when you know how it's all going to go so that you can plan accordingly. I certainly would not have eaten so much of the appetizer plates if I had known that there were going to be, you know, 10 more courses coming. Jesus knew very well that meals were a great way to reach people. We see so many times in the gospel that he's sitting down to eat, not just with his disciples, but with all the people, especially with the sinners, with those who were disreputable in the communities. And, of course, here, as we continue to make our way through the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel, which began with the multiplication of the loaves, we hear Jesus speaking about how he is the bread of life. He is the one who satisfies the hunger for things that last forever. He isn't the one who just gives passing, fleeting pleasures, solves a problem here or there. He is the one who really answers the deepest longings of our soul. And it's kind of beautiful how he uses the context of a meal to teach us that. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And he teaches us that whoever eats this bread will live forever. I was thinking about the analogy of meals, how we usually have a main course And then we arrange the other items all around that. And they're usually smaller, sort of supplemental items that balance out maybe the nutritional value of the meal. We know that it's good to have balance in nutrition. You know, those who are always eating cheeseburgers and fries and milkshakes are not going to have the greatest health. We need balance. And yet we also have to have proper prioritization in our meals, right? You could make dessert the main course, but it's not going to be as good as if you have something of a little bit better nutrition as the main course, and then a smaller helping of dessert. And so the same is true for our life, our spiritual life, even just our day-to-day life, when we're not talking about literally food. What do we put at the center of our meal, if you will? Sometimes it's the problems. We can't seem to see beyond this big plate of problems that's right in front of us. Or sometimes it's woundedness, painful memories, feelings, you know, very strong emotions about one thing or another. Sometimes that becomes our main dish, and that's what we keep putting into our body, into our mind, into our soul. And we find that when we do that, there are not good fruits that are born, right? But when we nourish ourselves on the good things, when we focus on the blessings we've received, when we look at how much we have to be thankful for, and we constantly put that into our mind and into our soul, we find we're much happier, aren't we? Well, there's also the spiritual dimension of all of this. If we have a spiritual banquet set before us, I hope that the Eucharist is at the very heart. I hope that the Eucharist is the main dish, if you will, in our spiritual life. Because the Eucharist is Christ. The Eucharist is Christ. It is the body and blood of Jesus the Lord. So if he's not at the very center of our life, we would do well to ask ourselves, what is at the center? Jesus invites us to have the Eucharist be at the very core, not only our spiritual life, but our day-to-day life. Granted, not everyone can come to daily Mass during the week. That's not what I'm saying. But the Eucharist has to be the core, the very heart, because it is Jesus himself. Around that main dish are arranged many other side dishes in the spiritual life, right? The church recommends confession to be part of our spiritual journey. Daily prayer, reading of scripture, reading of other meditations written by holy people or people who are very experienced and knowledgeable about the spiritual life. Praying the rosary, other devotions to saints, spending time with the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. The church recommends so many different things for us that can balance out, so to speak, our spiritual banquet. But the church always comes back to the Eucharist. Always back to the Eucharist. Because Jesus is at the very heart. And there is no better way to experience a deepening relationship with Jesus Christ than to receive him in Holy Communion. There's no better way. So if the Eucharist is sort of a side dish in your life, I encourage you, reevaluate that. If you've been away from Holy Communion for whatever reason, take the steps that are necessary to come back into that union with Christ. If there's any trouble, anything that keeps you away from this sacrament, take care of that. And if you're one who receives communion on a weekly basis, invite the Lord to come into your heart and soul more deeply, so that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate you from the weekly reception of Holy Communion. Not a busy schedule, not other forms of entertainment, not anything. He wants to be really at the very heart. Jesus doesn't want to be a side dish in our life. He knows that he gives us the best nutrition. He feeds us better than anything else in this world can.